I just Internet.
Was anybody not absolutely thrilled by the Falcon Heavy launch?
I tried not to be. To be honest, like I was totally like the you know, Elon Musk is gonna launch one of his cars into orbit. Good for him, Mr. Crazy Eccentric Rich Guy. And then like a couple of people, like there, I saw like a couple of posts on the internet and things like that of people who saw the launch and all that. And I just like people put links to the launch on their blogs. And it's one of those like, all right, I'll click play. And there was a couple of things on like on YouTube's homepage. So I'll click play and all that. I'll be damned if I was not impressed. Like if I wasn't like, okay, bravo, Elon Musk.
So there's a few facts that you have to understand about the Falcon Heavy. First off, it is the first time in history that a rocket is successfully launched with more than 9 engines.
Cool.
The Russians tried for decades to make it work and never could.
Cause I know it wasn't like each one of the rockets. Like there were three boosters on it. Each one had 9.
Yeah. It was 3 Falcon 9s, you know, wired together. And yeah, each rocket has 9 engines.
So I know I was on one of the videos I ended up watching because I first watched just a couple of the little like, you know, sanitized for your protection. Just, all right, here's all the money shots. And then I just ended up finding my way onto the SpaceX YouTube channel and just watched the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I watched it live. It was awesome.
I couldn't have cared less. I didn't even know when it was live. What time did it go up?
It was like 3 in the afternoon my time. But
yeah, so it's,
it was,
I wasn't following it at all. And then finally, like after it had all gone through it, oh, successful. Oh, here's some people with some stuff to talk about it. Don't care. There's like a couple of YouTube channels that were, you know, the geek channels that I subscribed to that were talking about how awesome it was. And I'm like, cool, skip. Okay. Here's somebody I care about. And they're talking about it too. All right. I'll bite. I'll watch. Oh, that's actually, I'm actually kind of interested. And then I watched the whole live launch and yeah, like actually the one of the first things that the engineer was talking about was how the engines aren't at full power for the majority of the launch because it'll probably because it'll destroy itself.
Yeah.
And it isn't until it's high enough in the atmosphere that the drag is low enough that then they go full bore.
Right. Yeah. Once they pass max Q, then they can go to full throttle. But I was sitting there watching it and, you know, I watched the launch and I was like, all right, it's launched. And, you know, but I mean, it was cool. It's a rocket launch and that was neat. And, but the thing that really like made me have like an oh shit, this is historic moment was when the boosters landed.
Yes.
And yeah, you got that multi-panel view. And at first I'm like, oh, they split the video into 2 panels. And I thought it was a repeat. You know, I thought it was like one camera split into 2. No.
Yeah. I was watching Bill Whittle's channel and they were talking about it. And
feed from each booster and the tracking and the navigation algorithms were so precise that the feed from 2 different cameras on 2 different boosters flying supersonic looked identical.
Yeah, and when they landed, it could have been a synchronized swimming thing.
It was so fucking impressive.
It was like it was an Olympic event and they were getting points for synchronicity.
Yes, they hit the center.
Because it didn't need to be. One could have landed an hour afterwards. Sure. Just so long as you recovered the 2 fucking boosters. That's the only important thing. But nope. Plop.
Yeah.
Right side by side. Unfortunately, they lost the big one, I think. Are they all the same size?
Yeah, they're all three were the same size. The core booster tried to hit the drone ship, but it missed. Apparently, some of the engines didn't fire correctly on the landing burn or something. And they said it hit the water at like 300 miles an hour.
Ooh, so is that bad?
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, water at 300 miles an hour is pretty damn hard.
Yeah. It's like concrete.
And you know what's funny is, do you know the names of the drone ships that are the the landing platforms?
No.
Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
No.
Damn. That's it. A good one, though, Jay.
They are so nerdy.
Porthos, Athos, and Aramis.
No.
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Look, all I know is on the Tesla Roadster, the navigation screen was flashing "Don't panic" the whole time. I know,
that was awesome.
That's pretty motherfucking nerdy.
So okay, so the drone ship in the Pacific is called its name is just read the instructions.
Okay.
The drone ship in the Atlantic is named "Of Course I Still Love You."
And the one in the North Sea is Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, probably will be when they get around to that one. So it is amazing. And I remember when I was a kid, I was like a NASA rocket fool, and I mean I watched the lunar landing in 69 live. I think I was like 6 years old, 5 or 6, something like that. And it was crazy. And I remember
live, there was an 8 second delay.
just in case Neil Armstrong swore.
No, anyway. No, just the time it take the radio waves to get to Earth.
So but they tried Even when the lunar module was actually landing on the moon, they weren't actually sure it was going to work. That's why they still had one guy in the command module orbiting the moon, so somebody could come back. Because our success at powered landings was really bad. They tried, demonstrating. They tried all kinds of different things, and most of the time they just blew up and died. Because landing stuff on the planet Earth with a powered rocket landing is insanely difficult. And honestly, I'm not sure a human can do it. You have airplanes and stuff like that that do it, and you have helicopters that do it, but that's different from a rocket doing it. The balance is all fucked up. Your center balance on a rocket is exactly opposite of what it wants to be. Like when you land an airplane or a helicopter or something like that, the center of balance is below the point of lift. So yeah, you have a natural balance.
Well, helicopters are insanely easy because helicopters just want to.
They want to hit the ground.
That's one of the whole points of helicopters, that they want to auto rotate. And the same thing was my cousin is getting his pilot's license, and he's into aerobatics, and he wants to buy himself an aerobatic plane. And my uncle was saying, no, I really want something that's got like a big broad wing structure that you can fly low and slow. He wants to take in the scenery. And I told him, I said, and he's not an engineer, but he's a mill worker who's worked with his hands all his life. And, he builds cars in his garage and that sort of stuff. So he tinkers. And I said, why don't you build a gyrocopter? Yeah. Like that sounds like exactly what you need. And from everything I read, they're insanely easy to make. And he goes, I don't know, those things seem pretty scary. And I'm like, no, because if everything else fails, it turns into a giant parachute.
Yeah, right. It just auto rotates in.
So yeah. That's, I mean, the whole point of helicopters is like a helicopter is the worst case scenario is not your engine shits the bed and congratulations, now you're a brick fighting gravity. No, because as soon as you stop, the rotors are just gonna want to fight gravity the whole way down.
It's a little more complicated than that, but yeah, basically, they actually practice that. All helicopter pilots, when you're in training, they always
auto rotation is a key point, right, on that. And when you design a new helicopter, auto rotation is something that they must be achievable,
right,
with, you know, for that airframe to be accepted by the FAA.
And that was one of the problems with the tilt rotor from Boeing, from Bell.
Oh, they didn't. They don't outrate it.
Not so much, but they have wings, so they sort of glide, sort of.
Until they kill all the Marines on board. Yeah.
But when you're landing a rocket, the center of gravity is above the thrust point or whatever you want to call it, the lift, and it's inherently unstable. And I think we're just now at the point where we have computers that are small enough and light enough and powerful enough that they can actually control these things. I mean, it takes microseconds. I mean, you watch those things coming in, and the engines are, you know, moving around and adjusting constantly and all that kind of stuff. It was really cool. And also, I don't know if y'all saw it, but there was the Smarter Everyday guy had a video from somebody that was, it's like one of these sites, like a 3D video or 3D audio thing. And somebody was recording audio from the top of the vehicle assembly building at Kennedy Space Center during the launch and during the landing. And you can hear all six sonic booms from the boosters, three each.
Wow.
Cause it's the engine bell, the landing legs, and then the little flappy things on the top, all three create a sonic boom, 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 one after the other, as it crosses the sound barrier. So, that was pretty cool. And it's loud. And it made me think back when I was a kid. I was like, man, you know, when I was a kid, we used to hear sonic booms all the time because it was, you know, back before 73 when they banned them. And you know, it wasn't like all the time, but it was, you know, several times a week you'd hear a sonic boom from something. And then after 73, quiet, nothing. So anyway. You damn kids.
Uncle Alan, tell us about the before time again.
So,
you know what I thought
it's
the best
cool.
thing about the whole thing was?
What?
Was Elon Musk, who resigned Trump's commission because he pulled out of the Kyoto Accords, dumped 800 billion gallons of kerosene and launching his car into space. I think that is the best fucking thing ever. I'm resigning in protest because you pulled out of Kyoto. Hold on. Let me burn several countries' entire global output ever in one afternoon.
Launching an electric car into a Earth Mars orbit.
Just so I can launch my car into an asteroid belt. You launch that Tesla. In space, Teslas can't catch fire. Little known fact.
That's true. But you got
actually they I think they can, because I think it's the well, they didn't, well they won't
well,
catch
there's
fire.
No oxygen, so
but the batteries will still burn up.
Yes, yes. They just won't. There won't be actual fire because there's no air.
Can we also talk about like the sheer joy of? All right, I heard that he was sending his car to Mars. Which, by the way, Jay, I got to get pedantic here and point out that the asteroid belt is between Mars and Jupiter. So, if it goes to the asteroid belt, like I didn't even think like Elon Musk, like no matter how coked up he gets, could fuck up that bad.
It actually is going past. It was a little too strong. The second stage booster was a little too strong, and it's actually going beyond Mars. It's not going quite to the asteroid belt, but it's going beyond Mars.
Are they going to be able to get it back around Mars, or is there no hope? It is in a
heliocentric orbit that will cross the Earth's orbit and the Martian orbit. It's a big ellipse that crosses back and forth,
yeah.
Basically until something hits it or it stops. It's like a forever orbit.
But can it correct itself so that it can achieve? Okay,
they didn't plan on that.
Yep.
Eventually, it will land on a trailer park in Alabama.
But this is huge, and I know where Weird's going with the car, but I just wanted to say, think about it. We can launch directly from Earth a vehicle that can go to the asteroid belt. Not with
like a vehicle that has a vehicle in it. That might have a vehicle in it.
We could send a car to the asteroid.
That's right. Well, you know what it is? The next step is going to be a 1998 Chevy Suburban with the diesel so we can pollute and create global warming on Mars. Then we can terraform Mars once the SUVs have populated it and made it warmer.
There you go.
See, this is Elon Musk's grand evil Bondvillian plan.
Let's instead make it a two-stroke Trabant.
No, that doesn't pollute fast enough.
Weird was going to say something about the car, though, and the space.
Yeah, I heard Elon Musk is sending his car to Mars. I get it. I didn't realize he had the absolute balls to blow the cowling off of the vehicle. So the car is actually going to fucking Mars.
Yes.
Like,
with a guy, a dummy in a spacesuit with his arm propped on the door.
The wheel.
Oh, that's not a dummy. That is a business rival. Make no mistake.
Oh shit, that would be a perfect crime, wouldn't it?
There's a rival. There's 13 dead hookers in the trunk. Come on.
Not in the trunk of a Tesla, there aren't.
Tesla Roadster.
They do have blenders. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's true.
That is an interesting
statement. Is has there ever been that's always been given that I have spent a lot of time offshore. And I might have a couple of map points that I could be dissuaded to give up of places where you could dispose of a body and that body would never, ever get found. And I always wondered I don't think I've ever found one. Has there been ever an instance where no body has been recovered, but the person who killed that person has been convicted of murder?
I think so. Cause I remember hearing that, if they don't find a body, there's no murder, and being disabused of that notion.
Well,
it depends on the circumstances.
That is a bullshit notion, Jay. To be fair, it is a bullshit notion of the, if there's no body, then there's no murder. But the bottom line is absolutely no body is recovered. And that's to be said, that's saying something. Cause I mean, I know that there was an instance where I can't remember the story of it. I've got the book upstairs. It's one of the stories dedicated in Dead Men Tell No Tales. And I think HBO covered it in their autopsy, series, but of a guy who had killed his wife, girlfriend, somebody or all that. And the body wasn't recovered or was recovered far away but with very little forensic evidence. And in the end, they ended up like one of the police officers said, you know what? His house is really friggin' clean. Like really clean. Like it seems bizarre. And I think it was like a couple of rooms were really clean. And the rest of the house had some dirt here and there, but these rooms were really clean. So they got a warrant and they popped up the thresholds in like his kitchen, which is where he chopped up the body. You know, hashtag spoiler alert. But they popped up the thresholds, and there underneath the thresholds was like blood, 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 blood. So to be fair, like technically speaking, just cause nobody finds like the torso,
right,
doesn't mean no body. Like if there's a whole bunch of blood underneath your thresholds in your kitchen or underneath your stove in your kitchen, cause you couldn't get the mop underneath there. Then maybe.
Well,
either way, if Elon Musk stuffed somebody that he wanted never to be found again in a spacesuit and sent it to Mars.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know, in the first place, you know, who is it? You know, you gotta think that. You know, hypothetically speaking, if Elon Musk did something like this, even if he did it on Earth, what are the chances? Mm-hmm. You know, given the amount of money and the amount of legal power he can buy.
Also, to be fair, pettiness and revenge is really a thing of the lower class, so to speak. And I don't mean that in a, you know, fully egalitarian, but it's one of those, like, once you get up to Elon Musk's level, he might not like you, but what are you going to do?
Right.
Like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams fucking hated each other. Like they had a lot of bad blood between the two of them. And in the end, I don't think they lost a whole lot of sleep on the whole thing. And supposedly they forgave each other in their last few years. But it's one of those things of the, when you're Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, yeah, I really don't give a shit what Thomas Jefferson's doing. Yeah, I don't really give a shit what John Adams was doing.
Yeah. But I mean, think about it, you know, so you gotta have a mass in a rocket to launch it, right? Otherwise it doesn't work correctly or some shit. I mean, it's you basically,
well, also never,
they never launch an empty rocket.
Yeah, it's built. I mean, we're not, he wasn't sending it up. The end goal was not to have a Tesla Roadster orbiting Mars.
Right.
That's not the end goal of this. The end goal is
to launch to send heavy shit.
Yeah. To send people to Mars and to put payloads into space that need to be put into space. So
dispose of his enemies. Come on.
Yes, Jay. Also that. No, Jay, that's your Uncle Carmine that's doing that.
But you know, in all the decades that NASA has been sending test rockets and launching test rockets and stuff like that, there is no possible way a government agency would have ever had the balls or the PR, you know, understanding to be, you know what? It'd be really cool if we launched a car into orbit.
Yeah,
it just would never happen. They'd make a block of concrete or something like that. That'd be it. So it's
let's launch a car. Let's have a dummy in it that looks like he's driving the car.
Right.
And let's blow the goddamn cowling off the vehicle.
Right.
So that there are PR images of a dude driving a car in orbit.
You know, whoever came up with that was thinking of heavy metal.
That's what a lot of people I've seen that pop up too. I've actually never seen that movie.
Oh, you should watch it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is. It is a product of its time. You have to take that into account.
Yes.
And you probably want to be on something.
Noted.
A recliner.
Yes. you want some sort of altered mental state when you watch it, for sure.
I will say that I own the first Transformers movie. Not the very first Transformers movie. Yeah, no, actually I 5 years ago, I was over at a friend's house and they popped in the, what is it, 1989, I think it was, Transformers movie. And yeah, no, there's nothing you can do about that piece of shit. I loved it as a kid. That was awesome. Because I love Transformers, but I'm talking about
He-Man too. So you know,
I love me some He-Man, and I love the He-Man movie. I have not rewatched that piece of shit in a while. I need to. I like. By the way, weirdbeard@gmail.com. If you're aware of a streaming service that I might be subscribed to that has Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren and Frank Langella, who, by the way, I looked up, found an interview with him. He accepted that position willingly. I thought for sure it was one of those instances where like someone was blackmailing him or something like that. But nope. His son was a huge Masters of the Universe fan. And so when daddy got a letter, you know, an offer to play Skeletor, his kid was like, "Dad, you got to do it. I'll never forgive you if you don't do it." I hope his son has changed his mind.
So he played Bernie Sanders, is what you're saying?
No, because Skeletor is not as evil as Bernie Sanders.
Well played.
By the way, I didn't mention this like ages ago, but this is old news. But did you guys hear when Bernie Sanders was criticizing Trump and his border wall idea? And stated that the border wall was like a Byzantine idea? Did you not hear this quote?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I don't pay attention to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders was saying that like the border wall was a Byzantine idea. No, a Marxist calling somebody else's idea Byzantine.
Yeah.
That's just, that's all I got, was just the irony of the fact of the, you're a Marxist. That was the failed experiment of the 20th century. It's the 21st century now, and you still exist. Not, it's not a good idea. Just because all your supporters are dumb doesn't mean that your ideas are good ones.
Just because you're smarter than your supporters doesn't really mean much.
Ooh, that really does not mean much. That is damning with the faintest of praise.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the
wait. I think we're on to an interesting topic. At least it's interesting to me.
Okay.
Shitty movies you loved when you were a kid.
Ooh.
Has absolutely nothing to do with Bernie Sanders.
No.
But I think he was in Alf. No, wait, that was Joe Lieberman.
It wasn't Joe Lieberman either. It looked like him though, didn't it?
It absolutely did.
Oh, there's a lot of movies that were one of those it was hilarious. Like, I went through a phase when Netflix, this is like before Netflix streaming even existed, where I just went through and started rewatching movies that I loved as a kid.
Oh, on the DVD service.
And some of them I was so hesitant on. Like, two of the big ones were Predator and RoboCop. Were two movies I was madly in love with as a kid, and I did not want those to, you know, did not want those movies to turn out to be like The Highlander. Oh, I love The Highlander, and then rewatch The Highlander, and man, like, I remember going like when Netflix came out, like, oh, we could get any movie. Like, my wife was like one of like the first like Netflix people. And like, I'm like, oh, we can get any movie. Oh, gotta put it for The Highlander. I haven't seen that in forever. That movie is awesome. And I'm watching it and I'm like, this is not what I remembered. Like, specifically, like two sword slash 'em ups that were like totally into the sword obsessed teenage weird, non bearded because he couldn't grow one, was Highlander and Lady Hawk.
Yeah. Oh, Lady movies. Hawk. I remember Lady that one. Hawk. What's his
name? I thought.
What was that guy's name? It was Rutger Hauer and what's her name? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer. And was that Broderick? Who was the boy in that?
I think it was Matthew Broderick.
I think it was. It's hard to say. There was a couple of like baby face dorks that were around there that were indistinguishable from Matthew Broderick until his balls dropped. But Lady Hawk. Oh, this movie's awesome. Like, holy shit. Like, this is definitely the same movie that I watched. Like,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah. Sometimes they just don't hold up.
Oh, speaking of which, I just saw, like, I can't remember how I stumbled onto it, but I need to watch this at some point. I think I need to pay some money, but I think I'm willing to do it. The Forbidden Zone with,
oh my God.
Oh, that's an awesome movie.
Face Hunter. That's Molly Ringwald's first movie. So,
Molly Ringwald and Michael Ironsides is Michael Ironsides. What's his name?
Jeremy. Yeah. No, that's Jeremy Irons.
That's where I always get confused. Is I always get confused of the British actor and the American actor. I think it's Michael Ironsides. Whoever the guy that was in Total Recall.
You're talking about the 1982 movie, right?
Yes.
83.
Okay. We'll take it.
It is early. Michael Ironsides.
Yeah, Michael Ironsides. Yeah. And who is the lead in that?
Peter Strauss. Like, there was a guy who... hold on. If I had an actual working computer, I might be able to tell you.
I'll look it up.
Peter Strauss... Ernie Hudson in his other role other than Ghostbusters. The one thing he was in. You might know Peter Strauss from The Secret of NIMH and or License to Wed.
Oh, man.
How come I keep getting this like...
Oh, crap. What was the...
Men in Black, the TV series.
Oh, my God. Talk about bad. Weird Science.
Oh God,
that holds up.
That Anthony Michael Hall and the other guy.
Yeah.
kind of like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Keanu Reeves and that other dude.
The other dude, right.
Which that other dude's like directed a whole bunch of shit, but he's made his career from behind the camera, not in front of it.
Robert Downey Jr. was in
Weird Science. Yes, he was. He was also in Back to School as the roommate.
Oh, that's right. He was.
Yeah.
Wow.
You look like the poster child for birth control. Yeah, pretty much any of those comedies from the 80s, if you rewatch them with a current eye, you realize just how horribly misogynist and racist they are. Okay. And I hate to sound like a social justice warrior, but you know, somebody commented, like, you look at Ghostbusters and basically Peter Venkman is stalking Dana. I mean, just like horribly. It's kind of creepy.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, by the way, I gotta tie in. I got it wrong because I typed in Space Hunter or the Forbidden Zone into Google, and I got some weird, like, hypersexual Danny Elfman film.
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
Danny Elfman, he did the score to The Simpsons.
He sure did.
He's done the scores to lots of stuff.
Yeah, he did the scores to a lot of shit. Like, I totally fought tooth and nail to get our marching band to do a Danny Elfman show. That would have been badass. But yeah, especially given that I'm a tuba player and he does a whole lot of, like, minor key marches. Yeah,
you're looking for Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, I believe.
That is exactly the name of the movie.
Yes.
And hilariously, I was kicking on Peter Strauss. I'm like, that he looks familiar. What's he been in? IMDb, best known for, and the first one is The Secret of NIMH.
That's what I said.
Which is actually, which I am madly in love with, especially like I found a newfound love of, speaking of movies that I loved as a child and then rewatched, was I watched Secret of NIMH a lot as a child and then went for a long time without seeing it. Then I started working in rodent research and suddenly had a strong desire to Secret of NIMH again. And my God, that's a good goddamn movie.
Oh, I know what, it's not a movie, but a TV series that I don't know would hold up today. The one with like the barbarian chick, what was her name? Zena.
You know what? I don't know. What TV show really did not hold up? The A-Team.
Oh,
you watch the A-Team and it's like every one of Hannibal Smith's characters is horribly, horribly racist. They roofie B.A. Baracus to get him on planes. All Face does is he just womanizes the whole thing and Murdoch just trivializes mental illness. I mean, it's a walking social justice warrior nightmare, this whole show. There's no redeeming character in the show.
Oh, man.
What does hold up is Magnum P.I. That show is just as good today as it was.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. There's a reason why that man's my real father.
On the flip side, Dukes of Hazzard. You've got every negative stereotype in the book.
Oh, and I bet you can't like you can't even watch that anymore. Like,
yeah, I don't think it's on there.
If you want to watch Dukes of Hazzard, you are literally going to have to go to eBay and pay like $100 for a DVD.
I think you got to go to one of those places where they have like the private viewing rooms and the floor stuff.
The private viewing.
But you need to go. No, what you need to do is go on the dark net and you need to BitTorrent that shit. And to be fair, like BitTorrent the shit out of the Dukes of Hazzard, no one's coming after you.
Yeah, nobody will admit
like,
it.
That's like no, that's we like don't the patent that. Holder, like the patent holder's the Zyklon B.
Yeah,
they don't care.
Zyklon B, wow.
Take it.
We don't want it. Wow. We don't own it.
Well, we talked about it last week. But yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah, no, I was madly in love with it. And actually, when the movie came out a few years ago, maybe like a decade ago
the,
now.
The movie actually was 2005.
Was it? Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, that was one of those movies that I just, I got it from Netflix. I'm like, you know what? I loved Dukes of Hazzard intensely as a child. I will watch this. Why not? Same reason why watching the Transformers movie, which I never finished, on the fact that the first time I watched it, like, my dad got it for my Christmas. My dad has since stopped getting me movies for Christmas because he's just one of those, like, him trying to find a movie that I didn't just go out and buy the day it came out because I liked it and I want it. But yet, you know, a movie that I like enough that I'll be happy to get, but not like enough that I went out and bought for myself. He just went, yeah, screw it. This is not a winning battle. And there's been a whole lot of duds that, like, back when Blockbuster still existed, they got to keep those. but yeah, the Transformers movie, the first time I watched it, I was drinking a martini. I went, you know what? This is not half bad. I watched it again sober and went, wow, this movie sucks. Yeah. And then watched again while drinking martinis and went, okay, I figured it out.
Yeah.
When you got a little bit of a foreign load going on there, you can phase out the fact of when there's people on screen. When there's giant robots blowing stuff up, it's
look at okay, so I just looked up the, because I have a vague recollection of this movie, but I don't think I ever saw it. The two main characters, Luke Duke and Bo Duke, do you know who played them in the movie without looking?
Oh God.
Who played the in the movie?
Yeah.
That was Sean William Scott and Johnny Knoxville.
That's right. The dude Where's My Car guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Stifler. Stifler is his bigger role.
Yeah. Stifler is his role.
Stifler is his defining role, but I will say that the Iron Monk and the Rundown should be defining him.
And
but
who is Daisy Duke?
Oh yeah,
That was Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Wow.
But here's the big thing: as I watched that movie, I went, "Jesus, this is really good." Do you know why that movie is so fucking good?
Because you were drunk.
Because you were drunk.
No, who directed it?
Don't remember.
Chuck
Chandra Sekhar. That's right. The
Kandahar.
The Indian dude from Broken Lizard. It's technically a Broken Lizard movie.
Huh.
So Super Troopers. What was that? What was the other big one that they did? Beer Fest. I didn't see some of the other ones, but
Old School.
No, that was not Old School. Who did Old School? Was that a production company that did Old School?
I don't know. That was Will Ferrell, who is the least funny human on the planet.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was about to say Elf wasn't too bad, but oh no, though, that was what's his face? Who directed that one? That was the guy who directed the first Iron Man.
M. Night Shyamalan.
No, it's not M. Night Shyamalan. Go fuck yourself, Jay.
Oh God.
Oh shoot, I forgot his name.
You know what movie from the 80s is still fucking awesome?
What?
Aliens.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Holds up beautifully.
They all really do. Like, even Alien I was just thinking the other day about Mother from Alien, the supercomputer that's just text interfaced on a monochrome green screen. And it's really bullshit when you realize that, like, no, this is supposed to be like way in the future, is we've got like near light speed travel and we can do human hibernation, but yet we can't have the computer do what my phone does. We can't have Alexa on the computer. Cause actually, that was actually what we got thinking about, was I was actually hearing all these, like, supposedly there's an Alexa Super Bowl commercial. YouTube keeps trying to show it to me and I keep skipping it because fuck you, I don't care. but like, I got thinking about like Alexa, and I was thinking about the fact of, like, you know, I got thinking about like Scotty going to computer, you know, talking to the computer, referring to it as computer. And I'm like, yeah, you really can't call the computer, like, in the future, because that's not going to work. and all that. But I'm like, oh, Alexa. And I realized, then I got thinking about like Alien Resurrection with Father. And I went, oh, that was kind of cute, but why'd they call it Father? That's kind of weird. Oh yeah. No, that was a bookend to Mother.
Yep.
Alien Resurrection, not a great movie, but they were at least referencing a good movie. And it was Mother, and Mother was a cool, cool name for the supercomputer. And then thinking about, oh man, that was a really lame supercomputer. But at the same time, really not that distracting. Like, it fits very, very well into that world they built. And again, anyone who's spent any length of time out to sea on a ship will see the Nostromo and go, yes. You will see the Star Trek Enterprise and go, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's too fucking clean.
Yeah, making, you know, making like, you know, 14 contiguous miles of deck space that all look like the inside of a brand new out of the factory Cadillac.
Yeah. Never
have. Like, especially the whichever the Enterprises all have name. What's the next generation Enterprise, Jay? You know.
1701D.
Yeah, that was actually the D.
So, yeah, so specifically the Enterprise D looks like a modern Cadillac with just the leather trim and just like everything soft, like no, there's no place.
It's rich
like,
Corinthian leather.
That's right.
It was sold to them by Khan.
With the exception of the bar on the fantail of that thing and Picard's like quarters where they got the big plasteel windows, there's no place where you could bash someone's skull in against a wall in that whole place. Like, you take someone by the back of the head and push them as hard as you can against a surface anywhere else, but those two locations where there's big windows, you're not going to hurt.
Well, you know why they did that? Wesley Crusher wouldn't have lasted 3 days. I'm just throwing out the geek stuff, man.
That's also the reason why there aren't any big windows in any places where he was hanging out with, because he would be licking them the whole time.
That's one of the big problems with designing a spacecraft that humans will live in for any amount of time. It will get so filthy and disgusting just because of it has people in it. We're filthy and disgusting.
I mean, when you look at the Nostromo, the Nostromo is a little teeny tiny living compartment and just piles and piles of engineering space. Because guess what? If you're going to be sending people somewhere else to work, you are going to give them the bare minimal.
That's
like,
right.
You have no idea the amount of space that I have packed myself into. Like, I was on a 35-foot boat for 8 days with five other dudes.
Damn, that's a small boat for that many people.
And 60% of that 35 feet was all the work deck. Like, literally, it was like 25, 30 feet.
Trawler?
This was, it was technically really, it was a lobster boat. Honestly speaking, it was a big lobster boat. If you really want to look at, like, boat designs, it was a big lobster boat design. Like, it was...
So, a lobster boat. So, it's like that Marky Mark movie there, The Perfect Storm, huh?
No.
I made Alan snort with that. It's Marky Mark. You know, he's got that restaurant now, that Wahlberg there, with his brother who is in the friggin' New Kids on the Block.
Actually, Jay, do you want to hear a great story? Is leading up to the release of that movie, like in all the hype, I ended up getting my hands on the book The Perfect Storm. And I happened to be sitting in Gloucester Harbor on the deck of a fishing boat that I was working on. And I was sitting out. I had my one of those little folding deck chairs, and I had it set out on the bow of the boat. And I'm sitting there reading The Perfect Storm. And I take a moment to stretch and look around. And I look over, and there sitting directly in front of us was the fucking Andrea Gale.
Oh, shit.
And I'm looking at it going, wait. It was the boat that they had mocked up to look like the Andrea Gale for the movie.
Wow.
It was sitting right in front of me. But I'm sitting there staring at it going, what the fuck?
Like, yeah. That was a
really fucked up moment.
So did you sail out of Gloucester?
Boat that went down, And Sebastian Younger did it's a great book, by the way. Like the movie's a good movie. I'll tell you right now, the movie is a really fucking good movie. If you want the closest thing the Hollywood will do to what fishing is, that is as close as you can get to it. And but at the same time, it's a Hollywood movie, so it's full of bullshit.
Oh yeah,
Sebastian Younger made it a whole point of there is zero bullshit. I will do the best I can to make a book out of this, but you will be fully aware of, like, he had, like, the first chapter is just how to read my book, because he's got different ways of noting. If you see something that is, I can't remember, it's been, you know, decades since I've read that book, but it's, but he has methods of this is confirmed. Like, there is Coast Guard radio logs that say that we heard them say this. And then there is somebody that talked to them, heard them say this. That's a different notation. To who knew them, knew that they would do this. And then this is just rank speculation. And that's how he wrote the book. So it's really, really good at, like, the factual levels. And then if you like that or feel that's a little lacking, read The Hungry Ocean by Greenlaw. What the hell's her first name? But whatever. But by Mary Stuart Master Antonio Greenlaw. And her book is that book is really, really good on the subject matter. But yeah. Either way, that was creepy. But again, on boats, like, if you're on a work boat, they're going to put you, there's a reason why people in the maritime industries refer to beds as racks. Get some rack time. It's not quaint. It is literally you are going to go to a storage location that you can be stored in while you sleep, and you can sleep in that storage location.
That's what the Navy and Marines call them too.
That's for the same reason. Yeah, all the maritime.
Yes, yeah, you're a rack. You're like, go to Home Depot and look at the things that they have all the stuff on, and those have more room.
Yeah, it's essentially go to one of those, like, gun shops. That's one of those, like, how do they fit so many guns in such a small place? State Line Gun Shop in New Hampshire, Jay, you've been there.
Yeah,
there. That's a prime example of the place is like a double wide trailer. It is like the tiniest little shop on earth, and you go inside, and oh my god, do they have selection? Like, if you have a chance, go. Yeah, it really is. It's not called that anymore. It's called I've got their card right here. Old Glory Guns and Ammo. The owner sold it. And so it's under new ownership now. But yeah, if you're in where is it?
Glassdow.
Mason, New Hampshire.
Oh, that, yes, yes.
Yeah.
State line.
Now called Old Glory Guns and Ammo. Yes. Go check it out. They run an amazing gun shop.
The place in Glassdow that Bruce always goes to.
Oh yeah, yeah. But either way, like, when you look at, like, a place that, like, has, like, serious trouble of storing their inventory, so they've got their rifles all racked up on, like, pegboard behind, like, the counter, that's exactly how people on boats sleep. Just sometimes four or five deep in a bed just wide enough that you can get through with enough clearance overhead that if you're sleeping on your back. If you sleep on your back, make sure you're on your back when you climb in. If you sleep on your stomach, make sure you climb in on your stomach.
You're,
if
not
you want to read a book while you're in there. Yes, because if you roll over onto your side, your shoulder's going to hit the bunk above you. So yeah, the Nostromo is genius because they've got absolutely no space to live in. It's all engineering space because guess what? Yep, nope. If you want to go stretch your legs, go walk around the oxygen recirculator or whatever the hell they've got for gadgets.
Yeah. Good luck. That always cracks me up. You know, they have these, like, the Hollywood spaceships always have all this room there, you know, there's always they like all these useless hallways, and you know, there's like these giant rooms and stuff. I'm like, there's, you know, it's no, that's not how it works.
Or like an area where you could just look at the stars, yeah. Like, and so you can establish that yes, we're in outer space. No, like I mean, I remember being on one boat where the galley had a window. And one of the guys was sitting there, who, by the way, was filthy, dirty, and smoking a cigarette. Hey, guess what? When you look at all the people in Alien, they're all filthy, dirty, and smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
But he was smoking a cigarette, and he goes, man, it's really nice that we've got this window here. Most of the galleys on the boats that I've worked in, they're like a dungeon. It's just a, you know, it's just a metal box with a stove and a table.
And a sluice drain.
Well, yeah, because windows are weak points.
Yeah.
Whether it's an ocean ship or a spaceship.
Yeah, and this one was actually like literally a window, not a porthole. He was talking about every song there's like a porthole. You know, but this one actually was an actual window that like actual sunlight. You could actually look out and see what the hell was going on. Yeah, no, they don't put those on fucking workboats. No.
Yeah. Well, Alan, you mentioned the spaceships in Hollywood having all kinds of room. It's very analogous to inner city apartments in Hollywood movies.
Oh yeah.
You got some. Okay. I'll give you a prime example. Fever Pitch, Jimmy Fallon. I remember this movie cause it's 2004 Boston Red Sox win the World Series. He's a teacher in Boston and his apartment could actually have fit Fenway Park in it.
Oh yeah. They have these huge, really nice loft spaces and stuff.
You do not have a three-bedroom, two-bath apartment.
Yeah. That's a million-dollar apartment, easy.
Yeah, same with the TV show Two Broke Girls.
Yeah.
Just on the title alone, it's a fallacy, is these two girls live in, I mean, it's a soundstage, so, you know, it's gotta be fairly open. You can't make it as cramped. But meanwhile, yeah, you see actual, like, people that live in New York, they're spending, like, $2,000 a month for, like, a thing that's got, like, a Murphy toilet. It's literally like Captain Mal's room on the Serenity.
Yeah. Yes. It's like an RV but smaller.
Yes.
You have essentially a wet bathroom.
Yep.
You know, which means you shower right over the toilet.
You can actually piss in the shower and not be a faux pas.
Yes.
Which, by the way, let's face it, pissing in the shower, it shouldn't be a faux pas. The water's running, you're fine.
Who says it's a faux pas?
Right.
Ladies.
I got the runs of shit, and come on.
this is where we need to have Brita. We need to have Brita so that she can comment.
Just the disgusted sigh. Ugh.
Yes. The question is not whether or not Mike pisses in the shower at Brita's house, but the question is, does Mike lie about pissing in the shower at Brita's house?
Of course he does, because we all do. Like, oh, I would never pee in the shower.
Well, that's look, the disgusting. water's running. You got to go. You're not going to turn off the water and walk over to the toilet and pee there. That's ridiculous.
And again, when you push the flush button, guess where that water goes?
Yeah, same damn place.
Goes in the same damn place.
Yeah. That's right. And again, we're talking about urine, a bodily waste specifically designed to be highly water soluble. So if you throw a lot of water at it, it all goes away.
It's all but don't pee on the loofah. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, if it's got plenty of water running on it.
It was on the counter.
All right, before we go, can we please talk about Adam Schiff?
Sure.
Is Adam Schiff got a phone call from, let's see. Oh, were they actually Russians?
Yes, they are actually Russians, but they're
they were actually Russians.
They're like talk show, radio, DJ. Humor guy.
See, I thought for sure like how lame these guys sounded.
No, they do that on purpose because that's their shtick. Is they call people in the West and they, you know, they try to fool them into thinking it's, you know,
yeah. But they called Adam Schiff, and the hilariousness is they reeled him in with the thing, but that they had naked pictures of Trump. Now, I'll tell you right now, sometime today, maybe right now, Trump might be naked. This is not a scandal. George W. Bush got naked. Obama got naked. Bill Clinton got naked, not necessarily with his wife. And so the idea that, oh, we've got naked pictures of Trump, like that was that, like, this is again, like the whole like Russian collusion whole thing that they're working on is one of those, where does this come as, you know, where does this, you know, where's the actual story? This wouldn't work as a, you know, as a Hollywood plot. Like, all right, cool. You got pictures of Donald Trump's ball sack. What does that get you? But again, they're just so enraged, just absolute blind rage at the fact that Donald Trump is president, that the dumbest ideas are plausible.
Oh, these people are idiots. You're right. They're so pissed off about Trump, and they live in their little echo chambers, and they'll believe any stupid bullshit about him that anybody comes up with. But they're also idiots.
Oh, also to be fair, again, these guys with like they're affecting like I've heard the tapes and all that played a few times. I haven't really dug too deep into it, and then I just went, oh, I might as well scan it now because I'm taking the lead on this thing here. And it's one of those like, oh, there actually are Russians. I thought maybe they were like British people pretending to be Russians, but no, they're actually Russians, but they're putting on such a stupid fake Russian accent that it's one of those like that. There's no Russians on Earth. Like Oleg Volk, who's like, how old was Oleg when he came to America?
He was young, like grade
school. he was a young kid. Like he's been out of Russia longer than he's been in Russia. So his Russian accent's a bit weird. I got a close friend that actually sounds a lot like Oleg when he talks, because he's the same way. Like he was like 8 years old when he left Russia with his family, and so he's got this weird like American. You know, American Russian amalgamation accent, and even Oleg's accent doesn't sound even remotely like whatever the fuck these guys were putting on, and yet just took that line, just inhaled that bait, and just started stripping line.
It was the Russians from the movie, the 1986 Chevy Chase Dan Aykroyd film Spies Like Us.
Ooh, yes.
Oh,
you know, just that middle of the Cold War, yes, Komradsky, just that horrible, like,
gross. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger in Red Heat, with the Israeli made Desert Eagle with the modified grip panels to make it look like a Makarov.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, that like, you know, just classic 1980s. Overblown.
Or Sean Connery as Ramius in October.
Dosh Vadanya. You mentioned Sean Connery. Dosh Bashiba, comrade.
Great movie. Connery did a great job in it, and I'm so like, the reason why Connery did a great job is Connery went, I can't fucking do other accents. you can have
that don't react well to bullets here.
You can voice coach the shit out of me to get me to say some Russian phrases in the very beginning, and you know, in a few instances where where I need to speak Russian. But again, he spoke maybe three Russian lines in the whole movie, because they do the pan in and they pan out, and now he's the Scottish guy again.
what it was?
The Russian speaking with a Scottish accent. That was hilarious.
But they did a big thing. Is, I mean, you had Sam Neill was one of the leads, and is he a Kiwi? Is he Kiwi or Australian?
Who knows?
He's from down under. He's from Australasia. He's an Australasian.
He's oceanic.
Yes.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
That's the general area's Oceania, which is Australasia. That's another one. I've heard it Oceania. But yeah, it's a lot like the scene in Mickey Blue Eyes with Hugh Grant, where they're trying to teach him to do forget about it. Forget about it. That was the voice coaching for Sean Connery in Hunt for Red October.
But yeah, Sam Neill is a Kiwi, but he was doing a British accent because the whole point was Remus is Ukrainian and all the other characters are Russian. So Russians speak in British accents and the Ukrainian speaks in a Scottish accent. It actually fucking works. It actually fucking works.
I can't get over the Doshpadanya.
Yeah.
And for I'll take the rapists for 400, Alex.
Your mother was a whore. Yes. But yeah, so either way, Sean Connery as Captain Remus totally caught, just got took Adam Schiff hook, line, and sinker. So yes.
Adam Schiff.
Yes, you know, there is Trump derangement in it, but also the same idea as Adam Schiff is eating paste by the bucketful, like right now as we speak.
He's Ralph Wiggum.
Yeah, he is.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
He's eating so much paste right now.
I'm wondering if he and Hank, was it Hank Johnson?
Hank Johnson.
I wonder if he and Hank Johnson are palling around together.
Like no, that? I don't think they can actually interact with each other. I don't think they physically are capable of it. Like, I think every so often, like you could set them at a table and put some like dump a whole bunch of goldfish crackers on the table and they'll drool and look at each other. I think that's the best you can get. Occasionally stick the goldfish crackers in their nose.
Did anybody watch the Pelosi thing where she talked?
They tried calling it
a filibuster, but it's not because the House doesn't do that. But she talked. There's some rule that said the minority leader can talk or something like that. And so she said she was going to talk until the dream. There was a bill with the Dream Act or some bullshit in it, and then what's his name, the Democrat, the minority leader in the Senate, Schumer, about halfway through her speech came out and announced that we're gonna do a deal without the Dream Act, without the DACA. just yanked the rug right out from underneath. Meanwhile,
there was like the newly minted senator for or representative from California was right behind her, like
falling asleep.
Not falling asleep, fast the motherfucker asleep. like she might have pissed her pants. Like she was that asleep.
Oh my god. Oh look, it's
three to be fair though. One. Like even if they could filibuster, like. There's an old Bill Cosby line. I understand that he may or may not be a rapist, and I don't care. He's still one of the greatest comedians to ever live. Bill Cosby always made a joke about, like, you know, about trying to negotiate with young children. And he goes, "They know how old you are, and they know how old they are, and they know they can outlast you."
Yeah, that's for
sure. If Nancy Pelosi wants to filibuster, just wait. She's going to die.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, not right now. But soon, like very, very soon. She's 117 years old.
Yeah. Sure. Her depends can't last that long.
Well, and that brings us first full circle to astronaut pants.
Hey, there we go. And look at that. Look at the time.
Okay, 1:09.
Yeah. Imagine that. All right.
I try to say that astronaut in the Tesla Roadster is not going to be throwing some bombs out the window.
Probably.
Awesome. Him throw a pickle jar full of pee out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It's a 24-ounce Mountain Dew can. Or bottle.
28.
128, sorry.
It's a 40-ounce of steel reserve. They're outside the Earth's atmosphere. There ain't no laws.
They're an international law. Yeah.
That's like the tamp joke about the orbital space platform that's just for hookers and blow.
Well, sure. That's what they're working on, you know.
They better be.
What do you think the first orbital hotel is going to be?
Well, the first orbital hotel is going to be some super different luxury thing for like super ultra rich person.
Well, so they can go up there and have sex and all kinds of drugs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's going to be the second hotel. The first hotel is going to literally be like the Nostromo, but some rich person can say that they've been in orbit. But then the next one, where they're actually going to put some amenities into it, the amenities are going to be hookers, ladyboys.
Yeah.
Heroin and blow.
Yeah. It'll be like, what is it? The Lolita Island. The
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Clinton's friends.
Yeah. It'll be like that.
It's not Theo Epstein. It's the other one.
Theo Epstein. The owner of the Red Sox.
Yeah. But isn't he named Epstein?
Yeah. Juan Epstein.
It's the other one. the other Epstein.
I got to look this up real quick. Is the Jeffrey Epstein. That's
how many Epsteins are in the phone book?
All of them.
Yeah. When you're dealing with like the Northeast Metroplex, a lot.
Yeah. Several pages at least.
I remember back in the Squirrel Report when like when people were mentioned that there are certain parts of the country where you can't find bagels. And I went, what?
Yeah.
Is that true anymore? Can you get other bagels at your grocery store, Alan?
Oh yeah. But I mean,
they don't exist outside of the Northeast.
Do they contain beef products?
No, they don't.
Are they beef jerky bagels?
No.
Beef jerky. No, they're made out of Fritos.
Look, I'm in Houston. It's the third largest city and it has more restaurants per capita than any other state, any other city in the US. So it's Houston is probably more ethnically diverse than New York. I know we got
I'm trying more. To think of something clever to say, but I can't.
We certainly more ideologically diverse.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know. Maybe actually the Houston keeps electing them some Democrats. So it may not be, the city proper may not be more ideologically diverse. It's the home of, what's her name?
Yeah. I forget her name.
Yeah. I don't want to remember.
Michael Ironsides.
Yeah.
That one. All right.
I got to go to bed. Good night, Internet.
All right. Good night, Internet.
I had to go lift heavy objects with my boy.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Night, y'all.